like to have a copy of God's Word, the New Testament of the Bible, offered to you quite freely. You're simply and only for the taking. It is God's written testimony concerning His Son, His only begotten Son, sent into the world to be a Savior. The bad news, of course, is that, yes, as my sign says, God is angry with the wicked every day. But the good news is that God Himself has done something about that, sending His Son into the world in order that that displeasure of God might be removed from you, that you might have peace with God and know the peace of God that passes all understanding, and that, of course, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. No other way back, of course, to God from the dark path of sin. One way, and one way only, and that through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the record, the testimony, God's Word, the only trustworthy source of information available to you. When you cannot trust men, you cannot trust churches, philosophers, you cannot trust any but God Himself. God has spoken in holiness, and this is His Word. You would like a copy of it, then do feel free to come and ask for one, gladly placed into your hands. No cost and no obligation to you. In God's Word, in the Bible, it speaks about, God's judgment, which of course is a reality too, that He is angry with the wicked every day, so says His Word, the Bible. But of course, the Bible does speak of that day when God will judge nations, when God will judge people. And of course, ultimately, that day, that great day of judgment, when all shall stand before the judgment throne of God and give account for the things that we have done, for what we are, for we are sinners by nature, not just practice. So for that too, conceived in sin, born in sin, and live in sin, practice sin all our days. But that is, of course, for the grace of God intervening and bringing us to a knowledge of Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, peace with God, hope that doesn't disappoint, and a joy and righteousness that is everlasting. All these, of course, through the gospel. The good news, that is, that Christ died for the ungodly. The good news, that is, that Christ died for sinners, was dead and buried, and after the third day rose again from the dead. An ever-living, reigning Savior who is even this very day gathering His people, His church, from the four corners of the world. How? By the means I'm employing even here this very day, proclaiming the gospel, preaching the good news of God's salvation. Foolishness, folly to those who are perishing, but the power of God for those who believe. That is, those who trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, His person and His work, that which He did, His dying and His rising again from the dead. But then, of course, a lot of people in the world today, as in every day, every age, of course, they seek refuge, in all kinds of things, you know. They seek a hiding place, you know, in all the afflictions and all the difficulties, not to mention, of course, the sin in their lives, and of course the attendant guilt, and of course to the consequences, the outworking of their sins in this world, which well, I acknowledge is quite terrible, is quite horrific. You know, damaged relationships, marriages, and not to speak, of course, ultimately of the damaged relationship with your Maker, with God Himself. But people, of course, they seek refuge in all kinds of things. And here in God's Word today, the prophet Isaiah, he says that, you know, when God's judgment comes upon, well, whether it be an individual person or whether it be a community, a nation, you know, when God's judgment comes, well, that's the time, you see, when all these refuges that men, you know, and women seek, you know, to hide themselves, seek refuge in from the storm of God's judgment. Well, all these refuges, you know, that men rest and hide in, well, they are all stripped away, and people in that day, of course, are left with no excuse, you know. Their mouths are stopped, as it were. All the arguments raised up, all the smoke screens, you know, that there is no God and evolution is true, and all the rest of it, science, science, science. You know, in that time, you see, well, there'll be no excuses. In that time, there'll be no arguments, there'll be no smoke screens, you know. The truth will be laid bare as to what it is you are, what it is that you have done, what it is that you have believed or not believed, what it is that you have sought refuge in. And I suggest to you, or rather God does in His Word, the Bible, that you should seek refuge in one place and one place only. And that is in God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, sent into the world to be a refuge for sinners. That's the place to go with your sin. That's the place to go with your guilt. That's the place to go with the consequences of your sinful living in God's world. To rest, as it were, in the arms of Jesus, the all-sufficient and the only Savior, the only real, true refuge, not in lies, but in the truth. Because it's the truth, Jesus says, that will make you free. So in that day, rest assured, the refuge of lies will be stripped away, taken away, and you will find no refuge in that day at all. The judgment of God will take all such away. But of course, well, you know, there's the God of this age, you know. He's called a murderer from the beginning, says Jesus, a liar, and the father of lies. And he's the one, of course, who presents you with convenient lies, you know, to seek refuge in and to put your trust in. He's the inventor of lies, you know. He's the one through whom sin came into the world, you know. His deception of your first parents and mine, Adam, you know. He wasn't just the first man. He was the head of the entire race. And through him, you see, he brought sin into the world and death by sin. So that all his posterity, one after the other, right down to this present time, each and every one of us, sinners by natural generation, conceived in sin and born in sin, live in the lie and live out of the lie that there is no God, the lie that you're not a sinner, the lie that you're not accountable, the lie that you're okay, the lie that you're a good person. All these lies, you see, when God's judgment, when His justice kicks in, all these lies, of course, will be stripped away in that day. And of course, these lies are presented to you in order simply and only to hurry you on to and down that broad road that leads to destruction. Straight gate and a narrow way path that leads to life, that leads to everlasting life. But that broad pathway, it leads to destruction, utter destruction in the end. And of course there's, you know, man's pride and oppression and greed, all kinds of things, you know, that men, you know, are deceived by the lies that are fed to them in every day and in every generation. So I suggest to you that a refuge is most certainly needed, because we are all of us, each and every one of us, we are all of us guilty sinners. And of course you carry about with you every day, do you not, that sense of guilt, you know, by things that you do out of that nature, that you cannot help but do. Isn't it true, you know, that you can't keep the sin in, you know, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to express it in some way. As God's word says, you know, that the natural state of man, you see, born into this world, he and she is incontinent. Can't keep it in, you know, can't keep the sin in, can't keep the expression of it in. It has to come out of you some way or another. But then of course, well, your conscience, you know, your conscience bears witness, bears testimony with me, you know, that what I say to you is true, does it not? What does the word conscience mean? The word con means with, and the word science means knowledge. Conscience, you have a conscience. You are with knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. Your conscience is God's agent. Your conscience is God's sheriff within you to arrest you, you know, to convict you when you do wrong. And of course, well, to pat you on the head when you do right, when you do that which you ought to do. But your conscience, you see, bears testimony with me here today. You have that conscience and you bear about with you that sense of guilt, you know, because of past deeds, things that you've done, things that you've said, even thoughts that you have thought, you know, that bring that sense of guilt upon you. And what do men and women do? Where do they look for a refuge from that sense of guilt that they bear about with them? Well, many turn to drugs, many turn to alcohol, many turn to more and more sin, and of course increase the sense of guilt. Oh, no, friends, there's only one place to take that sense of guilt, and that's to Jesus. That's to the one who died on the cross, who shed his precious blood in order that you might know the forgiveness of God, that you might know pardon for your sins, that your guilt might be washed away. Many, many people, I dare say, even this very day, have lined doctor's surgeries, you know, waiting for, looking for, applying for some kind of medication, some kind of tranquilizer, you know, to numb that sense of guilt within them. In order what? In order simply to carry on living their sinful lifestyle. Friends, there's only one answer to that sense of guilt, and that's to take and to bring it to the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and find forgiveness, to be justified, made right before God, for time and for eternity, pardoned for all your sins, all your iniquities. That's the place, not in the lie that you have not sinned, not in the lie that you have no guilt, not in the lies of the evil one, or your own proud and sinful heart, but in the truth that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That you have sinned all your days. That you're guilty, a guilty sinner in Adam. And that you're a guilty sinner by practice. And that you are deserving of God's anger. That you are deserving of the wrath. wrath of God that is revealed already from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, dear friends, let me suggest to you that you bring that sense of guilt, you bring it to the Son of God, you bring it to His shed blood, where it can be quenched, where it can be blotted out, and that you can know the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then, of course, well, there's calamitous events, you know, that take place in the world, as you and I know. And, of course, bring to mind that we're not, that we are human. Bring to mind, of course, you know, that there's a day coming, you know, when we're going to depart this world, as the Bible says, is appointed unto man, a divine appointment, you see, appointed unto man once to die, you're going to depart this world, you know, many throughout the world today will breathe their last and go out of this world, unexpectedly, you know. Some may be expectantly, but some not so. Maybe that day will come, you know, when you'll put your socks on in the morning, but you won't take them off at night. It'll be the undertaker who'll take them off. Oh, you never expected it. You never thought it would come, not for many a year yet, but every calamitous event that takes place in this world is a reminder to you. You're soon to depart, you're soon to be gone, and stand before your Maker, before the Judge, who is already before the door, the Bible tells us. And soon that door will be opened, and you'll be ushered into the presence of the Judge of all the earth, who only always does right. And if you've sought refuge in lies, in the lie of evolution, in the lie of secularism, in the lie of godlessness, in the lie of sin, if you sought refuge in the lies of the state, the lies of false religion, well, in that day, you know, you're not going to have a refuge at all, I tell you, from the awful, the catastrophic, the calamitous judgment of God. It is appointed, yes, appointed unto man once to die. After that, the end? No. Oh, you say, well, that will be the end of all my suffering. No, it will not. Death is not a state of non-being. You carry on through all eternity. You shall exist, your soul shall. But the question is, where? In heaven with God, or in hell with the devil and his angels? The lake of fire, as the songwriter says, it burns, 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 that lake of fire. And why does it burn, 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 burn? Why? Because it always has plenty of fodder to keep the fire going. Men and women who have sought refuge in lies, in the lies of the evil one, the devil, the pride of their own sinful, wicked hearts. No, dear friends, let the calamitous events that take place in this world, whether it be to communities or individual persons, let it awaken you to the reality of the day that you are going to be removed from this world. Not just die, but be taken, removed by God Himself. It's sin's wages, don't you know? The wages of sin is death. But dear friends, there is a refuge. There is a refuge God's Son sent into the world. The one who declares Himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Hide yourself in Him, in Jesus, the shelter from the storm of God's judgment. And the one who can and will assure you through faith in His name of eternal life, everlasting life. through Him, through His dying and His rising again from the dead, in order that sinners such as you might be saved. Oh, I tell you, know not how near death might be. It may just be a step away, who knows? Perhaps you'll not even get home, who knows? Perhaps you'll not see the end of this day. Perhaps maybe you get many, many plans laid up for this new year, 2020. Happy New Year, you say. Will it be? It's not guaranteed. It might be. I hope so. I hope you have a blessed and a prosperous New Year. I hope you come to know God and His salvation in this year 2020. But dear friends, you don't know how near death is. You might be a king. You might just be a street preacher. But everybody faces the grim reaper. It's no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of riches. It's no respecter of status. It's no respecter of age. It comes to the young, the very young, as well as the old. How near, how close is it to you, my friend? A breath away, your very next breath is in the hands of the sovereign God who made heaven and earth. The Lord of hosts is His name, the Almighty, who made heaven and earth and everything in it, and who made you, and who by His providence governs this universe. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground without His divine decree. You do not breathe. You do not take your next breath without His divine permission. His to give and His to take away. When? How close? How near? How near is your departure from this world? You don't know, but you need to be ready for it. You need to be ready for it. Because maybe it's nearer than you think. Nearer than you expect. So you need to be found trusting. You need to be found seeking refuge for that day when you'll breathe your last. When you'll go out of this world and stand before your Maker. You need to be ready every day and every hour of every day. You need to be in a state of righteousness. The righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Your righteousness, mine, is no good. Your righteousness, it says, God, are like filthy rags in His sight. Your best deeds. But there is a righteousness, the righteousness of God, revealed in the gospel. God's Son, Jesus Christ, He is the righteousness of God. That righteousness that enables a body, a person, to stand before God in that day clear, knowing that you've been forgiven, knowing that you're right with God. Why does a person need to be made right with God, Dick? Because we're all wrong. We're all on the wrong side of God. Guilty sinners, to a man, to a woman. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, says God. No, not one. Not a single one of us. So your greatest need, I submit to you, is you need to be justified. You need to be made right with God by faith through faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, who came into the world that you might have a true refuge, that you might have a hiding place from the guilt of your sin, that you might have a shelter from the storm of God's judgment to come upon nation and world alike. Oh, in that day, when you depart this world and stand before God, what will you hear? Will you hear from His lips, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Oh, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's faith. Faith, you see. Being full of faith, that's the answer. It's faith that saves, and faith alone in Jesus Christ. Not your perceived goodness, not the refuge of lies that you find, you know, in some perceived goodness of yours, Or you say, I'm a good person. You say, I've never done anything wrong. You say, I'm okay. No, you're not. They're lies. And they're the refuge of lies that men and women seek refuge in. None good, says God. None that doeth good. If it's not out of faith towards God's Son, Jesus Christ, it is not good at all. There is none good. Apart from the preaching of the gospel, apart from the gospel that I bring, the good news that I bring before you today, there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Matters not what you hide in. Matters not your excuses. Matters not the lies, whether of evolution or false religion that you embrace. Friends, there is only one road to peace with God. Only one place to a true refuge from the ravages and the devastation of sin in this world and in your own life. And that's in the gospel that I bring to you. I proclaim to you today that Christ died for the ungodly. For those, that is, who are contrary to God in their very natures. Conceived in sin and born in sin. Live in sin and die in sin. That's the ungodly. Contrary to God in nature and contrary to God in practice. Contrary to the law of God, contrary to the will of God, contrary to the character of God, contrary to God, and loggerheads, enmity against God. That's your natural born state and condition. That's how you come into this world. That's how you live in sin, living in the lie and living out of the lie. You can do no other. That's your natural bent. You cannot help yourself but sin. Only the grace of God, only the mighty, powerful grace of God can alter, can change that. Not works that you have done, not anything that you've accomplished, will accomplish, or try to accomplish. Not you being religious, not you going to church, not you saying your prayers. However diligent you might be in your religion, it will not save you from one single sin. One way only, and that's through God's Son, Jesus Christ. My gospel that I declare to you here once again today, the good news that Christ died for sinners, that He died for the ungodly, that He died to make you right with God, that He died to take the penalty and the punishment, to take all the guilt and all the wrath due to a sinner like you, that God might be enabled to smile upon you, that God might forgive you, that God might clear you before His judgment throne. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way back to God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus. No other way. No other way by which you can be mended. No other way by which you can be brought out of the refuge of lies. No other way that you can be brought out but by the truth. It's only embracing the truth, believing the truth, instead of living out of the lie every day of your existence. Blind to the reality, not just of God, of His being, but your own sin, your own wicked nature, and that which comes out of your wicked nature. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, it's only believers that are saved. It's only believers that receive everlasting life. It's only believers that are cleared with God. It's only believers that have safety, that have salvation. Whosoever believeth, you don't believe, you don't get it. Whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, in their wicked, evil-hearted state, but shall have everlasting life. But believers, you get it? The world that God so loved is not the world of this world. It's not man's world, but God's world. God's world is the world of believers. Those who believe in the Son of God, sent into the world to be a refuge for sinners, sent into the world to die for sinners. But those who believe, those who truly believe in the Son of God shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. But you don't believe, carry on with your sneering, carry on with your mockery, carry on with your despising of God and the gospel. But that day is coming when you will be utterly covered in shame and disgrace because of all your lawless deeds, because of your very nature that is rotten to the core. The heart is deceitful above all things, says God, and desperately wicked. Just go with your heart, you see. That's the worst possible thing that you could do, because your heart's rotten to the core. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why you believe in nonsense and lies such as evolution. Because you've got a heart that's deceitful and it will always gravitate towards that which is false, that which is deceitful. A deceitful heart loves the deceiver. Satan, the devil, loves the lie and lives out of the lie. Only the truth will make you free. The truth, that is, of my gospel that I declare to you again today, that Jesus Christ sent into the world, the only begotten Son of God, sent into the world to bring the grace of God that would liberate you, that set you free, bring forgiveness, pardon to you, bring you rightness with God, both for time and for eternity. Make you ready for that day when you breathe your last. So the refuge of lies, well, you need to get out of it and seek refuge in the truth, you know. Some people, you know, they seek refuge in, well, I'll make myself a little bit better, you know. I'll stop doing certain things, you know. I'll reform. I'll change my life just, you know, a little bit, you know. I'll put away some things that are, well, they're blatantly, obviously wrong, you know. A little bit of change, a little bit of reform, and then I'll be acceptable to God. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not enough. You see, you have to be born again, says Jesus. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, that is, understand the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. So what does it mean for a man, a woman, to be born again? Well, that's something God does, not you. You have to be born of God. God has to put His life into your soul, His love into your heart. Only He can do that. It's grace, you see, it's by grace. Not your doing. Not your choice to become a Christian. It's not your choice to be reborn. That's God's choosing. You did not choose me, Jesus said to His disciples. I chose you. God does the choosing. But through the grace of God, you see, and the preaching of the gospel, that's how it comes to men and women. Through the proclamation of the good news, that there is such a thing as grace. Free grace, the free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, yet but the gift of God, the gracious gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I declare to you today. Through Him. You must, you see, a little bit of reform, a little bit of change, a little bit of repentance, and I'll be okay, you see. That's a refuge of life. It's not enough. Your nature has to be changed. You must you must be born again. And then, of course, some people live off the back of a general morality. Well, I'm a moral person, you know. I'm a tidy person. I keep a nice home. I teach my kids properly. I tell them not to lie. And all these kinds of things, you know. And maybe even they're churchgoers, you know. Maybe, you know, on a Sunday, you wouldn't find them anywhere else but in a church, you know. And they're very, very... Well, you would think outwardly, you would think that they were very, very moral and decent and good people. Well, God says no. God says there's none good. God says that there's none that doeth good. God says there's none righteous. Even the religious people that occupy this building, they are as you are, just the same. All men, yes sir, and that's the same finger you'll get from God in that day when you stand before Him. So like I say friends, you know, a general morality, what's that about? That's just deceiving yourself. That's another refuge of lies. That's another hiding place from the storm of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And I tell you, in that day will be stripped away, and all these religious people, in that day when God judges, they'll be seen to be what they were. Maybe they were churchgoers. Maybe they wore long frocks. Maybe they had white collars around their necks, you know. And you thought that they were ever such good people. And God will damn them for all eternity because they have never been born again. They have never repented of their sin. They have never, never truly believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they will be lost just like all other men who have not and who will not believe in the Son of God, sent into the world to be a true refuge. So a profession of religion, and you've got a lot to choose from. Muhammad's variety, Buddha's, the Pope's, the Church of England, the Watchtower Society, need I go on? You've got thousands to choose from. And not an ounce of salvation, not an ounce of righteousness in any one of them. Only place where truth is found is in God's Word. What God has spoken in holiness. The only refuge is in the Gospel, the good news. Gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to die in order that sinners might live. His death for your life, in order that you might live and live everlastingly. So not religion, not your works, not your perceived goodness. Friends, not even your generosity, not even your charity gets you a pass with God, gets you a brownie point with God. You can give to the homeless. You can give to the earthquake stricken. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. A good thing perhaps to do. But friends, anything that's not done in faith, if it's not of faith, the faith that is of my Lord Jesus Christ, then it gets you no pass. It gets you no brownie points, none whatsoever. It might make you feel better. Give the homeless man a cup of coffee. Give the homeless man a sandwich. Yeah, make you feel better. But it don't make you better with God. Only one thing does that, and that's faith. That's faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The only refuge. The only refuge, you know. You know, not even a general reliance upon God's mercy. I get people come to me, you know, and they read my sign, you know. Even some who profess to be Christians, and they read my sign, and they say, that's not right. And I say to them, well, it's from the Bible, don't you know? That normally shuts them up, but, you know, some still persist. Well, God is love, they say. Yes, God is love, but that's the evidence that God is love. Because He's angry with the wicked every day. Why? Because He's a God of love. And anybody who truly loves is angry with wickedness every day. You get angry with your children when you see them doing wicked, don't you? Is that unrighteous? Is God wrong because He gets angry with the wicked? Oh, He is. He's smoking, I tell you. The wickedness of this nation of yours today, He is utterly and absolutely smoking. And the day's coming, you're going to find that out. If His grace doesn't come to you, if through His grace you're not mended, you're not restored to His favor, you're not brought to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, oh, you'll find out. But then to your detriment. Yes, sir?
I have a question.
Go on, sir.
Matthew 25, 35. So I was hungry, you gave me something to eat.
Yeah.
Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You said that giving to the homeless.
Yeah. But he did that. That's done through faith. You did it for me.
Yeah.
Read it again.
Yeah.
Read it again.
There's no point, mate.
You got.
I'm on your side.
Yeah, you're a mocker, in other words.
Huh?
You're a mocker.
I'm not a mocker.
A godless mocker.
I'm not a godless mocker.
Yes, you are.
I have an answer to anyone's question.
Who doesn't? Well, ask me a question.
You just gave an answer.
Ask me a question. Pardon? I just told them. Faith. Faith. If it's not done in faith, if it's not done in faith towards Jesus Christ, it's of no value. It's of no value. Read it again. Read it again. Listen to the words as you read them.
Bro, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat.
Me? Who's me? Who's me? Jesus. Yes, Jesus. If you don't do it for Him, if you don't do it out of faith towards Jesus Christ, your good works are just rubbish to be burned up.
No, and then
you have no good works. You're good, you're a sinner, and everything you do is tainted with sin. You ask the question. Do you want an answer or not? Do you want the answer or not?
But then Jesus.
You see, you ask a question, but you don't want the answer, do you? That's your problem. You don't want the answer. You don't want the answer. If it's not done out of faith towards Jesus Christ, your good works are smoke.
But He says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
And who is His brothers and sisters?
All of everybody.
Who, no.
Yes.
No, no. Those who believe in Him. Those who believe in Him. You're an apostate from God. You do not belong to God. You're a million miles from God. Yeah, without faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're not His brother, you're not His sister. You're just a rebel, sir. That's all you are. Nothing but a rebel. And your need is not to be quoting verses at the preacher. Your place is on your knees before God, crying out to Him in repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. Because I know. No, I do. Yeah, I know. I know by the way you're talking. I know by the way you're talking. Your own words betray you. Your own words betray you. Yeah.
You can keep saying it to make it any more true.
Well, it's true anyway. So go your way, yeah. Repent and believe the gospel. That's your need. Okay? That's the answer to your ultimate question. What?
Why should you believe the gospel?
Because you're a sinner.
No, why should any of us believe?
Because you're a sinner. Because we're all sinners.
Why shouldn't I believe all the other books?
Which books?
Any of them. All of them.
Because they're all rubbish and lies.
How do you know?
There's no truth outside of God's word.
How do you know?
Because God's word is true. Because God says it's true. God says it's true.
If I was there and I told you that I was there,
I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't believe it. Hey, be careful.
Wouldn't that be illegal?
So, as I was saying, friends, before I was rudely interrupted, you know, general alliance and God's mercy. Yes, God is love. God is love, but that's why He's angry with the wicked every day. And who are the wicked? Well, the wicked are the unbelieving, because that's the capital crime, you see. Unbelief is the capital crime. Some people think maybe murder would be the greatest sin. No. No, friends, unbelief, because it's your unbelief that keeps you from the forgiveness of God, that keeps you from a right relationship with God. Unbelief is wickedness. Your refusal to believe what God has spoken, what God has revealed, you refuse to repent and believe the gospel, that's the capital offense. And that, my friends, carries the death sentence. Everlasting, eternal death sentence. Get out of my sight. I never knew you. Friends, the gospel, the good news, that's the only refuge, not your life. And of course, well, when it comes.
You know who that is?
What?
Charles Darwin.
Yeah, he's a liar and a fool.
Oh, he's a liar and a fool?
Yes.
I'll see a liar and a fool.
Pardon?
I'll see a liar and a fool.
Well, number one, he went to Edinburgh University to do medicine.
Mate, yeah. You're Scottish as well, you can't talk shit about Scotland.
Do you want me to answer your question or not?
What? Ask, answer away.
Do you want me to answer your question or not?
See, he's written a book of the original.
Do you want me to answer your question? Do you want me to answer your question or not? He went to Edinburgh University to study medicine.
Right.
He flunked it. He failed. Yeah? He was a failure. So he went on a world cruise.
What,
yeah?
Like?
He went on a world cruise and he dreamed up his rubbish and nonsense, which on his deathbed he confessed was a load of nonsense that came from his imagination. Read the book, son. Read the book. Not Wikipedia. Read the history books. Read what Darwin says himself. Yeah? What he said himself, he said it all came from my own imagination. He said, God created the universe. Charles Darwin. Yeah. Yeah, it's rubbish, man. And you know it's rubbish. You know just the same as I do that God is. Yeah? Oh, you know. You know. And when dying time comes, then all the refuge of life, Charlie Darwin and all the rest of them that you put your hopes and your trust in, that you used to justify your ungodliness, that you used to justify your sinful rebellion against God, all your refuges will be stripped away and you'll be left naked and bare before the judgment of God without any defense whatsoever. One defense and one only. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world to die on a cross. The love of God, the mere grace of God, to die on a cross in order that you might be repaired and restored to God's favor for time and for eternity. So the command is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't even touch it. Don't even think about it. Yeah?
Think about what?
Touching the stuff. Yeah? So like I say, friends, the command, and it's a command just the same as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a command just the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious never dying soul.
Charles Darwin,
good thing.
That was about half an hour.